And my dilemma was, Lord, now that I'm a Christian, what's next? Have you ever had that question? Anybody here had that question? God, since now I've become a Christian, what am I supposed to do? You know, I grew up in a very religious church. And in that church, to be a Christian meant not to do something. Not to steal, not to lie, not to, you know, cuss, not commit adultery. And that's about it. If you don't do those things, you're a good Christian. But you know what? I wasn't satisfied with that. For some reason, I knew there's got to be something more. And I came to the point, you know how there's many levels of faith. First level of faith is when God begins to work on our physical things. Like when, if we smoke and drink and do drugs, when we come to Christ, what He does is He delivers us from all those things. Second level of faith is the level where we lie, when we backstab, when we gossip. That's the second level of faith. And that's what God gets rid of you. And the third level of faith is your heart. God begins to work on your heart, the motives of your heart. He begins to ask you, why did you say that to that person? Why are you doing this particular thing and not that? And then He starts showing you how hypocritical sometimes you are. You know, sometimes we are good Christians. We don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't gossip, we don't steal, we don't lie. God has set us free from those things. But then there's this thing in our heart. We kind of start being hypocritical. And I, you know, I was going through all those levels of faith when God began to teach me. The Bible says that we go from faith to faith. From grace to grace. From glory to glory. And we just keep going. You know what video games? Anybody here ever played video games? You have different levels in the video games. And when you pass one level, what do you do next? You go to the next level. And when you pass that level, what do you do next? You go to the next level. And I came to the point, not that I became perfect, but I started seeing that just Christianity, where all you do is not do something, is just not working. This is what would happen to me. This is what would happen to me, people. I would get rid of some sins. I would work on new ones. Got rid of those. Then keep going. Then the old ones would seep in or try to seep in. And then it'd just be a circle. How many of you know we live in a sinful world? We live in a sinful body with all its passions and everything. And they don't die. Paul says, I have to kill them daily. Okay, so I came to that moment in life and I just started crying out to God. I said, God, what do I do next? Obviously, what my parents taught me is not good enough. Yes, we are supposed to live a pure life. Yes, we're supposed to try to reach perfection. But you know what? There is a point in our life when we say, that's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about only what you cannot do. If you notice, that's what the world talks about us. They say Christianity is boring and it's all about what you can't do. It's laws and rules. Well, I started praying and I started saying, God, I need a new understanding. I need You to open Your Word to me and show me what is Christianity all about. Because as soon as I pull down a fruit off a tree, next year, the fruit will grow again. Sin is like fruit. You pull it down, that rotten apples, you pull it down, comes back again. And I said, Lord, what's up? What am I supposed to do? What do You want me to do in life? And He led me to this scripture. He said, go back. And this was a struggle in me. And He said, go back to Genesis and see what God created people for. And after I went to Genesis, I noticed a verse in Genesis 1, 28. And this is the verse that God spoke to Adam and Eve, the first people on earth. Do you know that what was the first words that God spoke to the people? Let me show it to you. Genesis 1:28, it says this. Be fruitful and multiply. That's the first words the first human being ever heard. That is God's purpose for His creation. Now, if you design dishwasher, what is the purpose of a dishwasher? Wash dishes. So, if you were to create something like a dishwasher, you would say, dishwasher, wash dishes. Car, drive me to work. Okay? Football. Entertain me. Bring a touchdown. So there is a purpose of everything. Boat. You're supposed to be on water. You see nobody driving a boat on the street. Okay? Car is supposed to drive on asphalt. And airplanes are supposed to fly in the air. Not nose down. Nose up. Amen. So God's creation, everything that God created, has a purpose. And the purpose for human beings is to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, I started exploring it and going a little deeper. What does that mean for our lives? What does that mean for me? And God started talking to me. You know, He doesn't talk to me audibly. He talks to your heart. Have you ever been hungry? Has your stomach been talking to you? Well, what about if your stomach didn't talk to you? What feeling did you get? How did you know you were hungry? That's how God talks to you. You cannot deny it. Just like when you feel hungry, and somebody would say, how do you know you're hungry? I don't know, I just know I'm hungry. That's how God speaks to you. I just know He spoke to me somewhere on the inside. That's how He does it. And so what He said is, your life should not be only what you should not do. Christianity is not about a whole bunch of rules and regulations. There's only two commandments in Christianity. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's it. But so what do we do now? We're Christians. What do we do now? And the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. And then I started asking, Lord, multiply in what? Obviously, first I thought finances. Right? Be fruitful in your finance and multiply. He said, yes, but that's not it. It's not only that. That's just one piece of pie. He said, multiply in your prayer. He said, multiply in joy. Multiply in your love. Multiply in your peace. Multiply in your kindness and goodness and mercy. Obviously, and finances. Multiply in every area of your life. And kids, yes. Be fruitful and multiply. God has created human race to be fruitful and to multiply. If you notice that Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's where divorce comes. That's where destruction comes. That's where division comes. That's where all these things come. So whenever you feel like something is destroying you, depression, it's not from God. And don't say it's from God. It's for me to suffer so I can, you know, be closer to God. And actually, I notice when I'm sick, I'm a complainer. I become a baby when I'm sick. And I know, and I've been sick, and I didn't like it, and I don't get closer to God when I'm sick. Actually, when you're sick, what happens? Satan comes to you and says, didn't you just pray? So how come God didn't heal you? Maybe there is no God. Come on. When destruction happens, you don't get closer to God. You get closer to God when God begins to show you how great and awesome He is. When He begins to multiply your finances, your health, your evangelism, your joy, your peace, your love for one another. In your family, love begins to grow between husband and wife, parents and children. Your friendships become stronger. Your job becomes a place where you feel satisfied. Your business begins to multiply. Every area of your life begins to multiply with God. That's the purpose. That's what we were created for. Satan came and brought sin. And sin brought curse. Curse is not from God. Curse is there to destroy. Actually, do you remember when Jesus came to the tree and it had no fruit? It wasn't fruitful. What did He do? Say it. He cursed it. He said, may no man eat from you from now on. And the next day they were walking by this tree and guess what? It dries up. Huh. So curse is there to dry up life. How many of you ever felt like your life is drying up? You feel just so not alive. You feel dried up, just depressed, boring. That's not what Jesus came to give. Jesus said, I have come to give you life. Well, I already have life. So what did Jesus mean by saying, I have come to give you life? I come to give you fullness of life. I came to give you life in abundance. That means life that has joy in it. Life that's full of peace. Life that's full of love and friendships and just relationship with people and with God. Hallelujah! Amen. When you open to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, you shouldn't forget this. Philippians 4, 4. Very easy to remember. God said through Apostle Paul, He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I will say to you, rejoice. I want to talk to you about multiplying in joy. How many of you have ever been depressed? How many of you have ever been sad? Yeah, we've been sad. And God is not the one who wants us to multiply in depression and sadness. God wants us to multiply in joy. And today I want to give you a few things about joy. One of the gifts from the Holy Spirit that's available to all those who love God is a reservoir of joy. You have joy available for you. Let me read to you what joy is. Joy is a spiritual antidote to suffering that comes upon all human beings. Let me read it again. Joy is a spiritual antidote to suffering that comes on all human beings. Let me give you some more. Sometimes the pain is so great that it feels like we can lose our mind. That's why people go on Prozac and antidepressants. A lot of people, they don't want to go on Prozac and antidepressants, so they find a temporary fix. They go and drink a 12-pack in 2 hours, and they get a little bit of joy. They get a little bit of, I don't call it joy, I call it happiness. One of my friends said, after you get sober again, the problem didn't go away. The problems don't go away, you just prolong your problems. Amen. And actually, while you're drunk, you just made yourself a little more problems. You got behind the wheel and you were thinking, oh no, alcohol doesn't work for me. Oh no, I just get happy, but I don't get, you know, all loose and everything. And you start driving and you got arrested. You got into fender bender. You didn't have insurance because, you know, you're spending all your money on beer. It gets worse. See, Satan offers us his own antidote to suffering. Listen, how many of you know that suffering will come upon everybody? Pain will come on all human beings. And we better learn how to deal with it. And there is alternative, obviously. There is alternative of how to deal with suffering. And that's what this world offers. Drugs, alcohol, you know, all kinds of illicit behavior and things like that. But there is an alternative that God offers us for pain and suffering. He didn't leave us here to suffer and just said, suffer. Suffer like a man. He didn't say that. He said, I have a way out for you in suffering where you can still be strong, where you can endure this suffering and not go crazy and not lose your mind. Joy is a spiritual wine. It's in the Bible. David actually in Psalms illustrates this. He says, joy is like wine. Huh. Interesting that joy could work in your life like wine. What is wine designed to do? Make your heart happy. But there are side effects of alcohol. Amen. There are side effects of drug, you know, and pills and even Prozac. There is a lot of side effects. Listen to this. There are side effects to negative. And it goes always decrease, decrease, decrease. But there is side to joy. And it's always increase and increase and increase. Did you know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit? What is a fruit? It grows. It grows and it grows and it grows. Alright? So, joy has an awesome power. Sometimes in your life, you will deal with house foreclosure maybe. Bankruptcy. You will deal with the creditors coming after you and calling you every day and saying, hey, you will deal with no money for gas. You will deal with that. And sometimes the burden of those things and pressure of those things can become so strong where obviously you want to just go and say, that's it, I want to commit suicide. The thoughts will come, I just want to end this all. But there's antidote for the suffering that comes in this world. God knew it. And He said the antidote is joy. Now let me talk to you the difference between joy and happiness. What is the difference between joy and happiness? Happiness is a temporary thing that comes sporadically in your life. Whenever you go shopping, you're happy, girls. Not me. Whenever you buy a new car, you're happy. Whenever you at work, something happened, you know. But how many times a year do you buy a new car? Maybe once in 5 years? That's not enough. You know what I mean? So there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness comes when something good happens. And then it just disappears. Joy is something that we choose to use. It's a reservoir available for Christians and even non-Christians that we choose to use in a time of pain. Now, joy is needed not only in a time of when everything is going good, but joy is a pill that you should take every day. Joy is something that we should take. Now, Christianity has become a boring religion because Christians have been actually saying that suffering is what we do. And we're supposed to not smile. I grew up where they said smiling in church is bad. Obviously, we have a different church. Hallelujah. Woo! They said, you know, that you should suffer for the Lord, brother. Suffer. And you should ask God to bring you pain and sickness so you can suffer better for the Lord. That's not what God wants. God says, joy is what I want you to have. Now, suffering will come, amen? But we can choose. We can choose to have an attitude of depression. We can choose to have an attitude of just pain and negativity. Or we can choose to take a pill of joy every day. You know, guys, interesting thing. When we're dating our wives, we are so happy and we have this energy somewhere on the inside. Amen? We're just like, want to see her every day. But as soon as we get married, a year later, something happens. It's like, bring me a pop from Diet Pepsi. What's for dinner, baby? What happened? What happened? Well, it's effort happened. Now, let me give you something. When models were preparing for this video shoot, it takes effort. Beauty takes effort. Ladies, before you came here, I'm sure you brush your teeth, guys too. You put deodorant on. You make sure your hair looked pretty. You make sure you put the best clothes in you have. Make sure it didn't stink. You put some cologne and perfume. What did you do? Effort. Honey, no offense or nothing to you, but my wife is just, it takes her a long time on Sunday. And every day. I mean, she's beautiful, right? And I wouldn't expect nothing less. Of course, it drives me nuts sometimes. That's why I drive to church by myself. Let me tell you a little secret. Devil always messes you up on Sunday. Devil will mess you up on Sunday. So I come here at 8 in the morning and just kind of hang out in the church. Pray, you know. But beauty takes effort. When you were courting your wife, she was your girlfriend or whatever she was, it took effort. But as soon as you got married, you stopped having effort. Joy takes effort. Joy takes effort. When we come to church on Sunday, a lot of times there's so much pain in our life. And it takes effort to smile. But as soon as we get to the presence of the Lord, that sadness just seems to disappear. And we all have fun and we love each other and we have great relationships. Why? Because we put effort. Let me tell you something about effort. There's a scientific law. Probably in 5th grade, 6th grade, maybe you can help me out. What is work in scientific terms? It's action that creates reaction. Am I right here? There's a law in science called work. And it's called action that produces some kind of reaction. Everything that's good in life, you will need to use action or effort that produces some kind of reaction. Holy Spirit spoke to me this week. A lot of times when pain comes to us, and this would happen in my life, I would go and turn on TV and just kind of disconnect. Just too much pain, man. That would be my drug. Some go shopping. Some get a bottle. some smoke, something, just to, you know, when problems come, I would go and watch TV for 2-3 hours. Just news. Political news. Just, oh, I would feel sick at the end. And then next morning, I would feel like not getting up and pray. Huh. And what happened was, I kind of said, Lord, something's wrong. I'm supposed to relax, but yet I'm not relaxed. I'm supposed to have more joy, but I don't have any joy. And the Lord said, TV produces reaction without action. Television produces reaction, emotion without action. To go play with your kids takes action that produces reaction. Test this, parents, sometimes. When you're feeling low, go and watch TV and see what happens. And then do this experience. Next time, the next day, if you feel low, go and play with your kids. And go and have fun. Watch what happens. Next morning, you'll be so refreshed. See, we're designed for relationships. But relationships take action, effort. You see what I mean? To come here to church on Sunday takes effort. Now, I can watch church on TV. I mean, there's better preachers over there on TV. When you watch TV, you get the emotion, but if it didn't produce any action, it doesn't work. But see, it takes effort to come to church. You have to look pretty. To go in a park, to go in a park and just enjoy nature takes effort. Isn't it easier to watch on TV? But yet you don't feel better. Huh? To go for a walk, it takes action. Everything in life that's good needs to have action to produce a reaction. Joy is the same thing. Now, I'm not against television. I'm not against you going and watching a movie. But that shouldn't be your source of release of suffering. Whenever you have suffering, Jesus would always go to His Father and spend time in prayer. So number one, what you need to do to have joy, whenever you have suffering, you go before the Lord and spend a few minutes with Him. And watch how He will just refresh you and you'll begin to feel anew. Sometimes, and I would do this, I would go and I remember this moment. It was just so much just suffering and pain on the inside. Not on the outside, just on the inside. And I would go before the Lord and I opened the book of Jonah. And I started reading and I read through the book of Jonah. And after I was done with the book of Jonah and how he, you know, went into this pit in a whale. And how he spent there 3 days and how he cried out to the Lord. And how the Lord rescued him. And how everything happened. I said, Lord, I have a good life. And joy returned to me. If you don't have joy, you need to pray like David prayed. David says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Did you know that if you're a Christian, your sins are forgiven? That's something to rejoice about. There's no guilt anymore. And so if you lost that, and David lost it too, he would pray and say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Third, you need to preach, become a preacher to yourself. Do you remember when David going through the hard moments of his life? He said, why are you so down, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Yet you shall praise Him. Yet you shall rejoice in Him, the God of your salvation. So David would begin to speak to his soul and he'd say, why are you down? Hey, get up. Don't you trust God? Opposite of joy is fear. Opposite of joy is negativity. And you know that negative people are hurtful people. They're not happy people. Negative people will hurt you, will talk about you, will not say hello when they come to church or when they see you on the street. They're just negative. Everything is bad. The cup is always half empty. You need to begin to preach to yourself. Lord, You are on my side. You've never left me before. And You will never leave me again. And what you do is you're learning to multiply in joy. It becomes a fruit. Fruit is something that grows. And it begins to grow. And next time it becomes easier to take the pill of joy. Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. Obviously, I have no time to completely talk to you about everything about joy. Bible is full of joy. In a time of Nehemiah, When people started weeping and crying before the Lord, Nehemiah got up and said, "You got to stop crying. This day is holy." Nehemiah 8:10 says this, "For this day is holy to our God. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You want to say to me, "Pastor, what do you mean? Joy has so much power? Prove it." Well, I'll prove it to you. A lot of us say, "If only I had money, if only I had a better job, if only I had a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife, I would be happy." Right? "I would be joyful." Again, you're relying upon happiness. Happiness is sporadic. It's not sustained. Joy is something that's sustained. Because it's not dependent on circumstances. It's not conditional. It's not conditional. You can choose to be joyful in a time of suffering and problems and trials. It's a choice. Happiness, you can't choose to be happy. Because happiness depends on something good happening in your life. And it's not always going to happen. If joy is not powerful, then negativity is not powerful as well. Because opposite of joy is negative. Negativity. Then why are people of means, who have everything financially, they're healthy, they have friendships, why do they struggle depression and negativity? Why do they suffer negativity and depression and pain? And if they have everything, and you would think, come on, why do you need to commit suicide? You're the richest person. You're famous. Why do famous people have money, everything? They're fulfilled, self-fulfilled, and they're accomplished and successful. Why do they then go on depression drugs? Because they got happiness, and happiness is sick to them. They want to puke with happiness. Money wants to make them puke. Just as negativity is a pill of poison from Satan. Listen to me. Negativity is a pill of poison that poisons your blessings. Joy is a pill. It's something. It's an antibiotic. It's something that will sustain you through the time of your trouble. Take a pill of joy. Life will get hard. And we don't know how economy is going to go up or down. Joy is not dependent on that. I don't know if you're going to get a $1 million contract or not. I don't know if you're going to get $35 an hour job or not. I don't know if you'll ever marry. And all the girls in this church will get married. I prophesy that. Amen. It doesn't matter. Joy is not dependent on what's happening in your life. Joy is something we choose. And after a while, we start speaking positive. Joy is connected to faith. Because everything is wrong. You're sick. You're disabled. You're whatever. You're broke and you're happy. How you do that? It's connected to faith. And faith is never negative. You don't say, "I have faith that I'm going to crash while driving my car. I have faith I'm going to get sick." Nobody says that. Faith is always positive. That's why Bible wants us, God wants us to live by faith. What does that mean? Positive thinking. Positive speaking. Positive relationship. Hallelujah! Let me tell you one thing that will break the joy in your life. Will stop the flow of continual joy is sin in your life. And if you still didn't, if you got unrepentant sin in your life, it will bring guilt and then it will bring condemnation. And then condemnation will produce more sin. The best way is to repent and say, "Lord, I turn away from this and I want to come closer to you. I want to be joyful. Produce in me joy of my salvation." You left church. We're going to be a church full of joy. It was so sad to me when I heard my daughter pray. And you know what she prayed? And I was so, it just shook me up. She prayed and said, "Jesus, I pray that Papa would laugh more." and have fun with us more and play with us more and have and then I heard her again and she kept praying that I prayed that he would laugh more and laugh more and laugh more. I don't want my daughter to know that her father is a pastor and he's always sad and always mournful. God says, I will give you beauty for ashes. And I will give you for mourning the wine of joy. Huh. I don't want to be that father I don't want to be that Christian for that sense. Who's known for being boring, depressing, and sad all the time. And if you look at Jesus, every party there was, Jesus was there. Wedding, Jesus is there. In the house of Pharisee, Jesus is there. In a house of a prostitute, Jesus is there. Jesus was all about joy. And then he says, Father, I'm going to the cross so their joy could be fulfilled, to be full. And Paul says, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice always. I'm going to be that Christian who's going to rejoice. And not only in church, people. Or you see that video, right? All these models are just beautiful. And they get out and they're just struggling. God doesn't promise us that we will not have any struggles in life. But He gave us an antidote against depression, against negativity, is choosing to walk in joy. And we can model, not what the church has modeled for hundreds of years, for thousands of years. Church has modeled negativity. They modeled dullness and kind of boringness. We want to change the outlook on church in this city. Our church will not be church of that. We're going to rejoice because we know the power. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do this. Next time you walk into a place where people don't like you and you can feel it, and start acting joyful and see what happens. Your enemy will squeal. They will be, what's wrong with them? And they won't want to talk to you. Come to your enemy and they'll say, how are you? And you say, great! Everything is awesome in my life. Oh, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't want to talk to you. He wanted it to be bad. But come negative and say, oh, everything is bad. You won't become stronger. Your enemies won't flee from you. They'll just laugh. Yeah. They'll say nice things, but they'll laugh. Joy of the Lord is our strength. It's a spiritual wine. Don't go and get drunk. The Bible said, don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk in the Spirit. Same effect. No side effects. The kingdom of heaven is not food or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You have entered from the world of darkness into the kingdom. And in this kingdom, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Say joy. Say joy. Say joy. Woo! Give glory to God in this place.